Daniel Cousins, a 31-year-old bank manager from Portsmouth, died May 22, 2015, of a fentanyl overdose. His wife, Jennifer, a nurse, found his body. The police found Daniel's video diary, in which he talked about his struggle with depression and anxiety and his self-medicating with heroin and fentanyl. Over a two-year period, former NHPR reporter Jack Rodolico produced an extensive piece of audio reporting that documents Jennifer's reactions to the videos Daniel left behind. Jack and Jennifer join us now to talk about the story they've decided to tell. This is an epidemic that has had so much coverage. We hear about these kinds of overdoses all the time, unfortunately, but it's rare that we hear such personal stories from the people who are living through the crisis. I mean, Jack, why did you feel that it was important to tell this story?
Well, I think all of us have heard stories about individuals who overdosed on heroin or fentanyl or other opioids. I had just personally never heard a story where you heard directly from the individual who had died after the fact, after they had died. And in my first conversation with Jennifer, she mentioned that Dan had created this video diary and she was going to watch it herself. She was open to us using it in a story. And it seemed like this one-of-a-kind opportunity to not just hear from family after, you know, dealing with the death after the fact, but hearing directly from the individual, and not just directly from him, but his explanations of why he used drugs. I mean, he really talks explicitly about his struggles with mental health, depression, and anxiety, and how heroin just made him feel better.
Jennifer, what I can't imagine. How did you feel when you discovered these video diaries? You didn't know that he was recording these.
Correct. I did not know. The Portsmouth police actually contacted me. One of the detectives that was assigned to his case reached out because obviously right after he passed away, the police took his laptop and his iPhone and anything that could be evidence, right? And I had no idea. I only learned about his drug use just about 1 month before he passed away. And when the detective reached out to me and said, like, did you know about these video diaries? I was like, what video diaries? But then once I got the phone back and was able to start watching them, it made a lot of sense to me knowing Danny, because he was a very sort of scientific person. He wanted to know why things were the way they were. And as you can see from listening to the videos, he documents his drug use. And I think that he did the videos to kind of maybe, number one, prove to himself that he was still okay and that he wasn't addicted and he was still managing to live his life and everything was fine. But also there's, I think, a couple instances where he talks about, you know, oh, when I'm better, I can look back and watch these and see how I was. And sadly, that won't come to be.
I can imagine the last 2 years has been an incredible process going through this and recording it. Yeah. And so you're almost reliving it as you're doing this, as you're going. How are you doing now?
I think I'm doing better. Thank you. It's been a very long, strange trip. You know, Jack said how I was very different when we first started. And I think participating in all of this and being a part of this story has really helped me with this process, with my grieving process. It really helped me know more about why Dan used. I mean, when he was alive, he wouldn't talk a whole lot to me about his drug use.
You say in the story he was not a pot smoker.
He was
not a heavy drinker. There was no other drug use really in his past. So I'm wondering, do you know why he made that leap straight into heroin? I mean, it seems like an amazing jump to make.
Right. No. And that's something I've often asked and people have asked of me, because I feel, you know, we hear so much in the news about this opioid epidemic and, you know, people are prescribed these opioids by their doctors and then that's what led them down the road to heroin, fentanyl, etc. Dan's story is different in that that's not the case. I mean, before he started using heroin, you know, he was a social drinker. He had a hookah pipe, so he would smoke like that flavored tobacco every now and then. But he never smoked cigarettes. He never smoked marijuana. To my knowledge, he never did any other sort of drugs. So I still don't know the answer to that. And that's something I've often wondered, you know, what was his mental health that bad? Was he hurting that bad that he just made that jump?
One thing we do know from watching Dan's videos, though, is that heroin did make him feel better. So at some point he tried it and his underlying depression and anxiety, he says it just, he just felt better right away. Now, it only lasted as long as the drug lasted. But when I interviewed the medical examiner who worked Daniel's case, and the thing that she said was that she has found in all of the overdose deaths that she's attended that generally one of the common factors is underlying untreated mental health problems. So it might be that Dan didn't ramp up with pot or heavy, heavy alcohol use or cocaine or anything, but he was seriously clinically depressed and had anxiety. And so a lot of the experts say that's really what it takes, right, is to have a mental health problem and then to explore with a drug and find, oh, that makes me feel a little bit better. But you're really playing with fire because of how dangerous these sure. opioids are and how much fentanyl there is out there now.
And, but Jennifer, you had said that you felt that mental mm-hmm. resources had failed them. In what way?
Well, he confessed to me that there were times where he called the National Suicide Hotline because he just felt that desperate and was hurting that badly. And, you know, he was connected with a local agency and was told that there was a 3 to 4 month wait. He did receive some mental health services, was started on some antidepressants, and was given an as-needed anti-anxiety medication. He felt as though it wasn't that helpful to him. He was still experiencing symptoms. And so he reached back out to the doctors. And again, it was a 3 to 4 month wait. He was always told if he was in crisis, obviously go to the emergency room. But he was very much like, oh, well, no. Like, the emergency room is for, like, emergencies. And even though he was in times of crisis with his mental health, I don't think he ever saw that as like, oh, I need to go to the emergency room. I don't want it to sound like I'm speaking ill of them. It's just that there is such a high demand for this health care and we don't have enough providers. And, you know, we need more people out there helping those who are actually brave enough to speak up and ask for help.
Well, Dan says at one point in some of the tape, some of the audio we hear in the story, that he thinks he's dealing with this well. He doesn't think he's an addict. He feels good while he's on it. And this is, you know, the classic
he maintained
line of an addict. I don't think I'm an addict. I've backed down a little bit, and I'm just doing it because I need it to feel good right now and to relieve my mind.
Oh, yeah. He would deny up and down and actually get kind of angry with me when I would kind of gently broach that topic of, you know, like, he would swear up and down, I'm not addicted. And to prove that, he would say, well, I haven't used in, you know, a week, or it's been a week and a half, I haven't used, so I'm not addicted. But he would always go back to it.
What do you hope comes from this story? What do you hope is the result of listeners hearing this?
I hope that people listening, it can help put a face to this crisis that's happening. You know, I mean, we hear about it every day in the news, all these overdose deaths. Who were these people that are dying? You know, Dan was so much more than how he died. And I think he would be happy that his story is being shared.
Well, Jen and Jack, thanks so much for coming in and talking about the story today.
Absolutely.
You're welcome. Thank you.